Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Chris. And
my pleasure.
We are going to be talking about the raccoons in due course. But please, first up, just tell our lovely listeners, if you would, a little bit of the backstory about your good self, some of the stuff that you've done in the past, and how it's got you to where we are today.
Yeah, so, my name's Chris McGuire. I feel a little bit like a contestant on Blind Dates doing this. You know,
absolutely.
I grew up in Wigan, which somebody has to.
Yeah.
And then I moved to London, where I worked in TV. So I was a TV producer for children's.
Right.
So I produced for Nickelodeon and Disney and children's BBC.
Excellent.
We're doing mainly puppets and presenters-based stuff, which was lots of fun. I launched a little dog called Hacker the Dog,
who seems
to be everywhere right now, which was, I don't know whether that's my claim to fame.
Well, it could be, couldn't it? It could be.
That's what people will hold against me. I'm sorry about that. But I've always been a writer at the same time, working in advertising and various things like that. And then we moved to Devon. So I now live in Devon by the coast in Exmouth.
Lovely.
Where I've got a little boy and a little girl, Sam and Eleanor, with my partner, Mary. And we, I now work as a freelance writer. I often say to people that you may have read my stuff, but you may not know it was me.
Mm.
I'm often under what we might describe as a heavy NDA. So that's the job now. I do a lot of writing for things like children. Things, we don't describe them as things.
No. But I know what you mean. Yeah, you're sort of mainly slanting stuff towards the younger readership and so on. This is a really nice tie-in, isn't it, with the raccoons? Because as I've been telling my lovely listeners this morning, I'm sure there are so many out there who will remember the series on TV back in the 80s, early 90s.
No, I was one myself, to be honest. I used to be a regular, sitting in front of the TV on a Saturday morning, cross-legged, watching Going Live, I think it would have been back then, and watching the raccoons. I was a massive fan of a character called Cyril Sneer, if people remember him, who's the villain of the piece.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm always drawn towards the villains, to be honest.
A lot of kids aren't they, really? I mean, because they're such great, strong characters and still very silly at the same time in kids' world.
I think so. Yeah, they're just kind of. I think there's the opportunity to be kind of naughty and fun, but in a kind of safe way, which is quite nice about it. So I definitely was a fan of the raccoons up until the point that I actually was having a conversation on one of my rare trips to the pub with some friends the week before I got the call about the book, actually discussing the raccoons, saying, "Well, does anyone remember it?" And then within a week, I had a phone call saying, would I like to work on the book?
What a strange coincidence that was.
It's a very, very strange world. But for people who may not know it, The Raccoons is set in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's in an evergreen forest, and it has a kind of cast of, well, mainly raccoons, and then there are aardvarks, who are kind of the lead character. The villain is an aardvark called Cyril Sneer.
Yes.
And it's basically about a character called Bert Raccoon, who is a kind of lovable fool, shall we say. He's a very kind of exuberant, kind of almost like a teenage raccoon getting into scrapes, and his friends help him out every week, which is what they say in the title sequence. But it's a lovely one, and it's got some great theme music and that type of thing. So I think most people, even if they were played theme music, probably would get that journey back to 1992 or something like that.
And so the idea of bringing some books out aimed at the kids, how did that sort of then come about, and how did that initial phone call arrive with you?
So The Raccoons is made by a man called Kevin Gillis, who's based in Canada. And I think in Canada, The Raccoons is a really big deal. I mean, I often think of him like the Canadian equivalent of someone like Nick Park.
It's
they're a big kind of cultural idea like Wallace and Gromit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy every bit of merchandise about the Raccoons that has ever been produced. They've been making it for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
But Kevin had never actually agreed for anyone to write books about it. It's okay. The only thing that he's never done.
Yes.
So I was approached by Candy Jar Books, who are based in Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically decided that in a deal with Kevin that they were going to convert episodes of the Raccoons into books for readers, for young readers. So the book that I've written is called Blast from the Past, and it's based on a episode with the same name.
Right.
And what we've done is taken the basic structure of an episode and then turned it into kind of something that feels like a really kind of engaging read. So there are 7 chapters.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you would have them read to you or read them yourself over the course of a week as a bedtime story.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic premise of it is it's for those kind of slightly reluctant readers or someone who's still reading with a parent or a guardian.
Yes.
And they're just kind of getting into the swing of it. And so what we've tried to do is pack it full of jokes and fun. And so it's the type of thing that you'll really want to return to.
Yes.
And just to try and get that reading muscle working, really. And so there are 3 in this first series. So there's Blast from the Past, mine, and then there's another one called Cry Wolf, and another one called The One That Got Away. And they've been written by other authors, John Peel and Ian McLaughlin.
Right.
And what we're just doing in them is just really trying to kind of engage people in the reading process. And they're fun. They've got lots of illustrations that have been newly created throughout them. And there's also a new element that has been put in, which is there are QR codes throughout the book.
Okay.
So that the reader, when you go through, you can scan the QR code, and that gives you access to Raccoons-based content.
Uh-huh.
So that everything is kind of interactive. But, I mean, regular viewers of the Raccoons will remember there were lots of songs throughout the cartoon.
Right.
And so the QR codes get you into the relevant songs for the story that you're reading. And, yeah, I've read them all, and other than just mine.
Sure, sure.
And they really are really kind of engaging, fun books that are worth the reading themselves, even if you haven't necessarily seen the series, because there's a lot in there, a lot to kind of engage with.
No, I don't doubt it at all. And I mean, obviously, as you say, you've based it very much on a particular episode from the series. So, I mean, how much latitude or leeway have you had then to be able to inject some new little themes to it?
If I'm honest, I've had a lot of latitude,
right.
to the point to which we then went back to Kevin and the creator and were like, okay, is this too much? And he was really keen to see that kind of freshness come through with a new version. So I'd say that we've kept to the kind of elevator pitch of the episode. The same things happen, but this is full of new jokes, things that we've tried to do is make it feel as contemporary and as relevant as possible whilst keeping to the main kind of themes of the Raccoons, which are things like, you know, sustainability and environmentalism and all those kind of things. We haven't lost any of those core elements, but to be honest, I've tried to put a gag into every 2 or 3 lines so that you're constantly moving from one laugh to another. And that's just not, you don't really do that in an animated series. It's more, that's more kind of driven by what you're seeing on screen. So I've just tried to make it more imaginative and, you know, kind of.
No, I understand.
Reader.
Yeah, I understand. So I guess, as you say, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's great for pushing kids a little bit to read themselves, mm-hmm. but still obviously a lot of fun for a parent, grandparent, guardian, whatever it may be, to be able to spend some time with the child, talking and chatting and laughing together, which just makes it a really fun package all the way through, doesn't it?
I think so. I think that hopefully the stories will inspire kind of organic conversations between parents, grandparents, guardians and children. Mm-hmm. But also I think, I mean, I have this book is aimed 7+ and
right.
I've got a 7-year-old son and I know what it's like to be in the see the kind of validation and the kind of when they're able to start reading themselves and they start to control the process,
yeah,
and it's really powerful in that way. And so he's read the book out loud to me, mm-hmm. And there's not anything in there that's going to trip up a child.
No.
But we don't have anything in there we don't talk down to them, and so he really got a lot out of being able to kind of, we were all laughing out loud as a result of him reading.
Yeah,
so really putting him into the driving seat a bit, which is what we were trying to do, but it was really great to see it actually come together.
Well, isn't that, I mean, that must be something that gives you so much pride and pleasure seeing you have obviously your own child there to test it out on, to road test it on. And I'm sure there was a very, very big grin on your face when you thought, yeah, this absolutely works.
Yeah, no, I think the most nervous I've ever been is my son took it into school for show
right.
and tell.
Yes.
And I left him at the school gate and then came back later to see how it went as the teacher had read it to the class.
Okay.
And the teacher came out and thanked me and said that, that everyone had been laughing in all the right places.
Excellent.
Which, if that hadn't have happened, I don't know if I'd been able to show my face the next day.
No, well, the stakes were high. Yeah, the stakes were high.
Very high, yeah.
Tell me one thing, and it's always an important question to ask. Clearly you're selling it very well to our lovely listeners, I think, already. But if people do want to find out a little bit more about the one that you've done, and obviously the series in general, is there a specific website that you want to direct people towards, or have you got your own that features this particular book?
So if you want to go direct to the source as such, the website is Candy Jar, the publisher's website, which is candy-jar.co.uk. But to be honest, if you go to Google or any popular search engine, mm-hmm. you can get hold of the book on any of the big
the sort of sales platforms and so on.
Any bookshop you've heard of. I mean, to be honest, one of the nice things is just kind of what we're trying to say to people is, kind of if you don't see it on the shelf, just ask, because will order it in. I mean, even people going into libraries, and if you don't see it on your library shelf, a library will order it in for you as well.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
And, this is, if you Google it, it'll available everywhere.
Well.
But I've learned the pester power of trying to get someone like Waterstones or something. Is there's a big fight to get to the front of the shelves.
Yeah, well, understandably so.
In children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no, no. It's quite a market, isn't it, really? But, I mean, as I've said to so many of my other guests on the shows over the years, I mean, it is such a key thing, isn't it, to get children interested in reading or being read to as early as possible, because it's a love that can stay with them for the rest of their lives.
Totally. I think that I was one of those kids that just literally wanted to kind of go into a corner and read, I think that was always my thing. And
yeah.
I think that over the years, I've realized that not everyone was like that. And so that I think what I've always tried to do in my work was to do something that is going to draw out the person who isn't necessarily bookish.
Surely.
I think that once you actually get into the habit of working that muscle of the reading, then, you know, kind of it is a gift that keeps on giving without sounding too cheesy.
No, but absolutely right, though. And so what does the future hold for you next? Are you looking to do a couple more books on the Raccoon series?
Well, I'm waiting to have the green light on that. I'm working on other children's books, which I can't really say that much about at the moment.
No, fair enough.
And I've also got an animation series that is in development at the moment, which is going really nicely.
Excellent.
Again, you can't say anything much about that.
No, all under wraps, absolutely understood.
But I've got a website, which is, if I can tell you, which is ChrisMaguireWriter.com.
Right.
Maguire, MCGUIRE. Mm-hmm. And that can, on there, you can see everything from the children's stuff that I'm writing through to stuff for, you know, kind of commercial clients.
Other stuff that you've done.
So there's a lot on there. But yeah, now hopefully we will be able to announce fairly soon some new projects on the horizon. And yeah, if you want to also have a look back at some of the stuff I've done for things like CBBC and that type of thing, that's all on there too.
No, well, that's great. Thank you. That's really good for people to know. Well, what can I say? We obviously hope that the book will be a great success. And as we said, I think if there are parents and grandparents listening who remember the TV series from when they were younger, then the idea, as you said, of having some books available for the kids to read or to be read to is absolutely spot on. So I thank you ever so much, Chris, for joining me this morning, and hopefully we can talk again in maybe a couple of months' time, and when you've got some more news that you can tell us about some of your other projects.
That's great. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. Have a great day.